Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I will begin today with an assumption, and that is, I assume, you were listening last time and remember we left off with a cliffhanger. If this is a bad assumption on my part, you were not with us, then just stay tuned and this will all make sense. I resume the reading of Mark chapter 5 at verse 22. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. A synagogue official named Jairus came up and on seeing Jesus fell at his feet and implored Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And Jesus went off with him. While Christ was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any more?" That's where we pause the reading. This is sad. Tragically, this 12-year-old girl, Jairus' daughter, is dead. Now we continue. Verse 36, Mark 5, verse 36. But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." Jesus came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, Jesus took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, Jesus said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. This is one of the miracles of Jesus I cherish the most. And I love it because it demonstrates the compassion and mercy of God towards those who need him. I find that throughout, and particularly in verse 40, when the Lord takes along the child's father and mother and enters the room where the dead child was lying, I cannot imagine the searing pain and grief her parents must have been feeling. So the Lord gently and kindly invites them to come along with him in to see their daughter. He is with them in their grief. We get a sense for how her dad Jairus felt when he falls at the feet of Jesus and implores Jesus to come and heal his daughter. He was a synagogue official with close ties to the Pharisees, so for him to show that much faith in Jesus would have cost him something among his associates. But he didn't care. His little girl was very sick. And that was at verses 22 and 23, before the child had died. In verse 35, Jairus is told the girl has died, and the Lord has to tell him, "Only believe." That is, maintain your original faith in me, Jairus. The wording here in the Greek language indicates an ongoing and continuous action. Keep believing. Keep your faith, even as you begin to mourn. Well, Jairus is struggling. If I can be personal for a moment, like all of us, I have a sort of breaking point in my own faith when I find it impossible to understand why God allows for certain circumstances. And for me, that is the death of young children. I just cannot account for this. Oh, I can give you all of the correct theological answers, but all the while my heart prompts my head to shake. No, Lord, I do not understand. And I weep with those parents and siblings who mourn the loss of this little one they so loved. As this originally airs, I recently read the story of Haley, a 2-year-old girl who died of acute myeloid leukemia at Boston Children's Hospital. Listen to part of her obituary. Haley, 2, passed away peacefully, surrounded by her mother and father. Haley will be remembered for her bravery, strength, and resilience, receiving 5 rounds of chemotherapy, in addition to radiation treatment and countless arduous procedures, before undergoing a bone marrow transplant followed by additional treatment after a relapse. And she did it all with a smile on her face and her loving parents by her side every step of the way. Haley was a spirited, feisty, spunky, beautiful baby. She made everyone smile, and she touched everyone she ever met. She had so much life in her little body. Before she was diagnosed, she always woke up so excited for the day, going straight to the closet and drawers to get herself ready, saying, "Jacket, boots, hat, car." Throughout her battle with leukemia, she always got up. She demanded to go on 800 walks in her stroller in her final week. She passed away with paint on her hands and sparkles in her hair from doing crafts. The obituary goes on and tells who she is survived by, including a sister, and where and when her wake will be held. I have a hard time even reading that. And I did not personally know Haley or her parents. Well, the question can fairly be asked, why didn't God heal Haley? My answer is, I do not know. I just don't know. But here, in Mark 5, God did heal this little 12-year-old girl. Verse 41, taking the child by the hand, Jesus said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Talitha cum is spoken in Aramaic, the original language of Palestine. Talitha is the feminine form of the word lamb or youth, and cum is the imperative arise. Lamb, arise. Youth, arise. God told her to get up, and up she came. You see, when you deal with Jesus, you deal with God. Because Jesus is God. Jesus reveals to us who God is. And God is compassionate. And God is merciful, as demonstrated in this miracle. This story is one of 3 in Mark chapter 5, all of which deal with people the Pharisees and the Jews would have considered to be unclean and therefore to be left to die on their own. The demon-possessed man living among the tombs, the diseased woman who bled, and a dead girl. But Jesus went to each one. Jesus associated himself with them, touched them, and healed them. Because Jesus is God, and this is who God is. He is compassionate, and he is merciful, and oh, how each one needed him. Oh, how we all need him. We are talking here about the special revelation of God that comes through Christ. Remember, God's special revelation of himself comes through 2 manifestations, Jesus Christ and the Scripture. Concerning Christ, we have looked at John 1, verse 18. Jesus reveals what God the Father is like. We have looked at John 5, verses 36 and 37. Jesus reveals God the Father's mercy and compassion through his works, and an example of Jesus' works is Mark 5. And now let's visit other texts in John. Jesus reveals the Father gives eternal life to those who believe in the Son through his words. We've had Jesus' works, and now Jesus' words. The words of Jesus reveal who he is, and really who God is. I am not sure if you've thought about this, the words of Jesus and the revelation of God. I hope if this is new to you, this will be a real eye-opener and convicting as well. In the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, in verse 63, Jesus says something very interesting, although this is often missed. The Lord says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." What does he mean by this? What is he saying to the disciples? "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Spirit speaks to the animating of the soul that comes from the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus. Earlier in verse 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." He means that spiritual life comes only when the Holy Spirit gives Christ's life to the believer. Our flesh, for example, the good works we will somehow generate of ourselves, this does not give us spiritual life. Only the Holy Spirit can give spiritual life to the soul, and he does this as we express our genuine faith alone in Christ alone. So the words that Jesus speaks, these are to us spirit and life. Let me put it this way. Our salvation comes to us through the word of Jesus, through the word of God. I need to pause here because we will soon run out of time. We'll start again with this next time, looking at the significance of the words of Jesus, even as earlier we looked at the works of Jesus. We are keeping our eyes on Jesus all this week, which is always a good thing. Christ commands our love and our attention and our adoration, and he does so because he is God in human flesh. He is the revelation of God to us. So continue with us as we will find out more about who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.